Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Beyond the junkyard echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, as always, Junkyard James, and with me is the man with the sauce, Cody Marinara. And we are here on a Sunday night instead of Thursday night due to AEW Collision being on Thursday this past week. But how are you doing this Mother's Day weekend, my friend?
We're doing all right, man. How about yourself? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there. Mother's Day is always a seldom holiday on my end, but that is all good. It is all right. We are here, though. We're doing well. It was a good day today. How was your day? And hopefully your mother had a good Mother's Day as well.
Yeah, it was a pretty good day, pretty good weekend. We're moving into even closer into AEW's next pay-per-view, Double or Nothing. We're, I think, 14 days out until Double or Nothing coming up, and we're going to push along with them. Before we get into the show today, I have a big ask for the audience. If you're new to ever watching this show, the first thing we want to say is welcome to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, to this community. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, comment, join in with the live chat, like this, share with your friends, share with wrestling fans. We say this is the show for the sickos, but to be honest, we are here for all wrestling fans, from the casual, super casual, only watching WrestleMania types, to the watch everything and spend every waking moment doing everything type of people. So we are here for everyone. Subscribe, like, leave a comment. If you're watching the live episode, you can join in on the fun, and we may share your comment on the show. So join in the comments there. Also, before we break into the main content today, it is a sad day for wrestling and wrestling fans alike. So we do want to just say our condolences to the family of Sabu, who tragically passed away earlier this this morning or last night. Sabu was a legend in ECW and wrestled basically everywhere that you know throughout his career. Had his final match just 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas. He fought Joey Janela in his retirement match. And Sabu is forever will be a legend in the game of pro wrestling. I, not really being a wrestling fan during his prime, I don't have a whole lot of memories of watching him wrestle, but just going back and watching some of his stuff, just an absolute legend in the game. And I know you probably watched him more than I did, so your thoughts on the passing of Sabu.
Yeah, definitely tragic, very sad, gone way too soon. Like you said, you know, just wrestled a few weeks ago in Las Vegas, WrestleMania week, with Joey Janela. So it was cool to still see him in the squared circle in the wrestling scene. I wasn't the biggest fan of ECW, but I did watch bits and pieces of matches here and there. His matches with Taz were just legendary. Same with Rhino, Sandman, Dreamer, Mike Awesome, all those guys. I really watched a little bit more of Sabu when he joined TNA, and I started watching a little bit of TNA from like 2005 to I think it was 6 or 7 with some of his last appearances that I really remember of. I'm sure he had maybe a couple others afterwards. I'm just not popping off the top of my head, but bringing that ECW style to TNA, where they much like AEW and some of these other wrestling promotions, where they have a different flair, different way of doing wrestling. He brought his homicidal, genocidal, suicidal gimmick and moniker to the forefront with the hardcore stuff. His epic, golly, if you really want to watch a hardcore match, watch his barbed wire massacre match with Abyss from, I believe it was Turning Point 2005, I want to say, maybe 2006. I have to double check on that. But the ring ropes were replaced with barbed wire. Crazy match. It's just one of those that make you like cringe, but like you can't turn your head away from it. It was pretty epic, but definitely very sad to see that. Taz posted a really cool video on his X account this morning about that, detailing some of his matches and friendship with Sabu, and meant a lot to a lot of people, and it's very sad to see him go so soon. So definitely give our thoughts and prayers to him and his family and friends. Another wrestling legend just going way too soon.
Absolutely. I think here recently, Sabu was last in AEW in 2023 in the corner of Adam Cole when he went up against Chris Jericho at ironically enough, Double or Nothing in 2023 or 2024. I can't remember which year it was, but gone too soon. He'll forever be missed. Condolences to the family of Sabu. And I'm sure this week he'll get all of the 10 bell salutes from all of the major companies, because he meant that much to the wrestling world. But let's jump into the show. We're going to switch things up a little bit, just kind of as an experiment. We're going to introduce a new segment that I think will be fun. It's going to be a bit of a game, just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. We're going to play Guess the Wrestler. Before we get into that, though, we got to thank the partnership that powers this show, and that is our friends at Dubby Energy. And so I would like to say thank you to our partnership with Dubby. And if you guys need an energy drink that is clean energy, doesn't leave you with the jitters, doesn't leave you with the crash, and some of the bigger brands of energy. Go to W.GG, use the code Beyond the Yard in the checkout at the where it says discount code. You use this code on the screen, Beyond the Yard, get 10% off your order at W.GG. Thank you for partnering with us, W. And let's get into the rules of the game here, which is guess the wrestler. So we may switch this up to where you read the clues and I have to guess, or maybe it'll just be me reading clues and you have to guess for a while. We may switch it up a little bit, but here's how it's going to go. I'm going to give you two pieces of information to start, and I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes. And within that 5 minutes, you can ask for a couple more clues. We'll give you five. And you can guess three different times. And within that 5 minutes, if you get it.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You get it. If you don't, you don't. So let's start off. I think this one is pretty easy. I'm gonna give you two pieces of information to start, and then we will start the show. This wrestler is a current wrestler in the WWE. And the second piece of information that I will give you is he was Pro Wrestling Illustrated's number one wrestler of the year in 2011. And are you ready for the timer to start, my friend?
Yeah, go ahead.
All righty. You got 5 minutes and five. I'll give you 10 clues, 5 minutes, three guesses. Your time starts now.
Okay. Am I allowed to ask a question and you can tell me yes or no?
Certainly.
I have a guess already in my head, but I'm just going to – I want to solidify something real quick. At the time of him winning this award in 2011, was he currently in WWE at that time, or was he at another promotion?
This wrestler was in WWE.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and put one guess off the board, and we're going to pick The Miz.
Man, I told you it was going to be easy, but I didn't think it would be that easy. It took you less than a minute to get it. You're correct. It was The Miz. I didn't even get to say how he was a two-time Mr. Money in the Bank, a multi-time tag team champion, a two-time WWE champion. You just took it right off the bat there. 45. There's no way we can get better than that. But hey, that's how it goes sometimes. That's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Yes, I picked Mike Mizanin, The Miz. He is our wrestler this week. Wow. Maybe I should have given you less information to start the show.
What was interesting is that the reason why I asked if he was with the company or not, so my second guess, when you said no, I had a guess in my head of maybe it would have been somebody in TNA. Like, I was trying to think back in 2011 who that could have been. I think Rob Van Dam was in TNA at that point, and Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles. So my mind would have went that route. So once you confirmed that it wasn't in TNA, I was like, okay, 2011, I think it was in Miz that year. So worked out well for me there. that round.
Fair enough. He was also in 2011 Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Most Hated Wrestler of 2011, which makes sense.
That's a pretty good, interesting list to have.
Mm-hmm. And then 2016 Pro Wrestling Illustrated Most Improved Wrestler. He was in the. I don't know how you can be most improved when when you've been wrestling for several years at that point in time, but
that's why sometimes that that magazine and that list just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's what it is.
Absolutely. Well, hey, segment one, guess the wrestler. I was thinking it was going to take a little bit of time, but here we go. Week one, and maybe I got to change up some of the rules early. That's all right. Hey, while we're transitioning, can you tell us, friend, about our second partner, and that is StubHub?
Absolutely. Be more than willing to do that there, good sir. So let me ask you off the top. Are you looking to score tickets to hot events in town, specifically in our area, in the Charlotte area?
Man, I can't wait for Wednesday because the NFL releases the schedule, and I'm ready to grab some Bills and Panthers tickets. So
there you go. Absolutely. Well, StubHub has got you covered, my friend. And for everybody that's out there, whether it's a concert, a sports game, that must-see Broadway show, whatever your inclination is to wanting to get tickets to sports and entertainment events, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets with millions of listings. You can easily find the best seats at the best prices. For baseball fans, MLB is in full swing. I think we're in the second full month of the schedule. So obviously tickets are in full swing for that, but also for the AAA, single, AA. I'm not sure if some of those leagues are on StubHub, maybe AAA, but I'm not sure about the other ones. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. We're not going to talk about that, but that's going on as well. You can look up tickets on StubHub as well. We're starting to turn a corner into the warmer months. That means that concerts are about to heat up. Tours are about to be in full bloom. So StubHub, like I said, is your one-stop shop to find all of those live event ticketing needs. Plus, with the StubHub's 100%, that's right, 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that your tickets are legit and they're ready for you to enjoy the experience. So friends, why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets to unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Use the link in the description for all your sporting and entertainment live event needs. Please and thank you.
Absolutely. I appreciate our partners there at StubHub. Use that link in the description, like he said, and help support your guys here at the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. We're moving in now to the mid-card meltdown, one of the best segments of the week every week. And I'm going to begin this week because AEW runs a Sunday morning thing on their YouTube page called with RJ City called Hey EW. And this week Kevin Knight was on the podcast or episode this week, and there was a comment that Kevin Knight made on this episode that I think is going to get some people riled up, and I want to talk about it. I'm going to show you the clip, and then I will use my time to talk about this segment and the broader consequences of this segment. Watch this clip here.
AEW was interested in signing you, but another company offered you a tryout at the same time.
We heard about that. These guys, right?
Is that what you said?
Of course. Yeah. We heard about that story, right?
What was the declining phone call?
The declining phone call? Yeah. I don't need this. This ain't my job.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
And then you just hung up the phone like that.
Just like that.
Okay.
Quoted.
Interesting.
So for those who don't know the story, Kevin Knight is one of the young guys, one of the most up-and-coming prospects in pro wrestling. And WWE, I would say, had the gall and the audacity to tell the man, you're not worthy of signing just any contract. You have to try out for a possibility to get a contract. Well, AEW steps in, and obviously he signed with AEW, and he is one of the guys in pro wrestling. And I think the interesting comment that he said there was at the end there, where he was like, I don't need this. This ain't my job. And that's going to be the talking point that the WWE elitist will use to say that these indie wrestlers they're not about the grind. They feel like they're entitled a position. And in some way, I agree with Kevin Knight here. Kevin Knight has worked his ass off for several years now in the independent, is one of the best super junior wrestlers in all of the wrestling industry, exhibited by the fact that he's in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament going on currently right now with Nick Wayne. The fact that WWE said, we're interested in you, but not interested enough to offer you a contract based off how...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Great you have been with the matches that you've had, that you have to try out to see if we want to offer you this contract. I'm with Kevin Knight here. What does he have to show outside of his matches, outside of the work that he's done, that he is deserving of a WWE spot? And let me tell you what's going to happen is at the end of his deal with AEW, WWE is going to throw tons of money at this guy. And then he may or may not go to WWE. But that's WWE's MO right now. Memo operandi is they're not... in 2019, they offered Jade Cargill a tryout to join WWE and passed on her. The minute she does really well or somewhat well in AEW, they throw money her way, and they haven't used her the way that I think she was promised. Her deal's up next year, and we'll see if she resigns. Same thing with the likes of Stephanie Vaquer and Dragon Lee. Oh, you did really well in AEW or in New Japan. We didn't want you before, but now we want you now just to make sure that AEW doesn't get to retain your services. That is the memo operandi of WWE. And good for them. If they want to do that, that's fine. But I think people are going to say this makes Kevin Knight look bad. To me, it makes WWE look kind of bad. Like, you're going to make one of the biggest prospects in all of pro wrestling try out for an opportunity to wrestle in your promotion when you obviously know you're going to send them to NXT anyway. Isn't NXT the place where you can train and develop wrestlers? Like, to me, it says WWE is not confident in their ability to train wrestlers to mold wrestlers to be the superstars that they want, that they're going to let AEW and these other promotions do it for them. And then when it's time for them to get their next contract, they'll throw all the money in the world to sway them to come to WWE. And when you're on top, I guess you're allowed to do that. But I think it's wild if for instance, let's say like Saquon Barkley, if his contract with Philadelphia ended, he's not coming in to do a tryout for some other team. because people have seen how good he is. They know how good he is. They've watched the tape. The next team that signed Saquon Barkley isn't going to make him try out for the opportunity. A tryout is for someone that hasn't proven their worth. Kevin Knight was one of the hottest, most wanted free agents at the time before he signed with AEW. And the fact that you would make him try out, but you wouldn't make the likes of Jade Cargill or Ricky Starks try out for a spot, I think that shows that WWE isn't interested in developing talent. They're looking to take already developed talent from other companies. And I think the moves they've made recently prove my point. The acquisition of Triple R, the signings of Ricky Starks, Ethan Page, Stephanie Vaquer, and the like, prove that they're not willing to develop talent anymore or take a risk on a person that maybe has independent success, but you're not 100% sure they can make it. Like, isn't that the purpose of NXT? Or at least wasn't that the purpose of NXT? Like, when Hideo Itami, or now known as Kenta, came into NXT, like, he was a big name in Japan, but many weren't sure if he could translate it into the American style. And he did pretty well for until the injury bug caught up with him in NXT. Like, wasn't that the design of NXT, was to be the place where you can develop your next generation of talent? And it seems like they no longer want to do that. They're just there to steal other people's talent and throw money at them, which is great. I'm cool with that. I'm good with wrestlers getting paid what they deserve. It's just my observation. I'm not saying it's wrong for WWE to do such things, but I think it's interesting. And I know this will be a position where a lot of people are going to say Kevin Knight is in the wrong here. I think this is more of an accusation against the style of talent relations and talent retention within WWE. I'll give you the mic, your turn for your mid-card meltdown, my friend.
Appreciate that, sir. That was a very good segment on your end, and I appreciate you bringing that up as well. I think that's a very, very, very valid point that you made, and interesting choice for the mid-card meltdown for you for this week, but like I said, I enjoyed it. I think it raises some really good points that you brought up there with that. Mine is, we're going to kind of say in the AEW sphere of things, what is up with I want to double-check things before I actually open that up. Okay, there we go. Sorry, I'm actually going to pivot from that. That's my fault. I'm reading my notes for the upcoming segment for what we're going to talk about here in just a second, Double or Nothing. But my concern that I have with what's the right PG words I can use for this? The intentional misleading that I feel WWE possesses sometimes. There's no question about it. AEW is not perfect. WWE is not perfect. TNA. Nobody's perfect in the wrestling sphere of things. That's why we have a bunch of these out there, so that way we can present different products to different people, acquire different tastes. And I've been one to say plenty of times that when WWE gets it right and does it right, there's nobody better. There's nobody that can top them. They are the leader in sports entertainment for a reason because of that. But I know that you watched Backlash last night. I did as well. I thought it was an okay show. Wasn't the best, wasn't the worst. It's okay. The main event match left me just, I honestly laughed most of that main event, because it was a carbon copy of 2008, 2009, 2010 WWE, which if you watch just about any WWE match, it has a style, it has a flair, it has what we all come to know is the WWE way of doing things. But I'll tell you what, after watching that main event with Cena and Orton, watching the post-show press conference and all that, I'm a little disappointed. I was expecting a lot more from this John Cena heel run. But I just didn't understand the thinking of that whole match. Cena doing a little bit of the heel turn stuff. I get it. But golly, it was like watching two 80-year-old guys in that ring. They were moving so slow, too methodical. And maybe that's because Cena is going to have a career after December and he wants to make sure he's not going to be hurt for this or that. He wants to play it safe so he can, you know, wrestle in front of more crowds and you know, make sure he's healthy. I guess I get it. But at some point, like, you got to give me a little bit more to the character, a little bit more for this run, a little bit more in the matches. I'm not sure. But the R-Truth thing was weird. Maybe because I haven't watched Raw or SmackDown, that I'm not sure if there was something before that show that led to that exact moment. If there wasn't, what the hell was that? Why do we have that? That made no sense to me. Cena, you know, the ref bumps are just, I mean, they happen in every single main event match, it seems like, with WWE right now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I don't get it. I think there's too much of that going on that they need to. I understand you have a heel champion and he's going to have to do the heel stuff. I get it. But you can have the referee, hey, take off the top turnbuckle and then low blow a guy. Push the referee for a second. So that way he turns around, low blow a guy. There's different ways we can do this without having a ref bump almost every single show. It's nauseating at this point and it's really, really ridiculous. Way overdone.
So to piggyback off that real quick, not to take any time from you,
No, you're good.
let me ask, your thoughts on this. Cause I mentioned this, yesterday. So the first ref bump, nothing came out of it.
No,
like they did the ref bump. Cena grabbed the title. And then he got RKO'd or whatever and threw the belt literally out of the ring. Like, it was like, what's the point of that ref bump? And then the second ref bump happens. And then the third ref bump happens. And it's like, at what point, like, the WWE fans complain when Ospreay does 84 Tiger Drivers and the opponent kicks out of them. Like, how many ref bumps do you really... Right. Like, how many ref bumps do you need in one match? That would be the one complaint I had about that match. Me, personally... I thought Backlash, for being a WWE show, you got what you kind of expected for WWE. Now, I'll be honest, it was maybe the best WWE premium live event I've seen this year, but none of the premium live events even come close. Like, the worst AEW pay-per-view is still better than what we've been getting out of WWE here recently. We got a comment real quick, and then I'll let you come back. Jet Black Suit, I think I'm saying that right. The work rate was abysmal, but they did a greatest hits type thing with the run-in finish. The match was boring until the ref bumps.
I don't disagree with that per se, but the problem is that there were so many of them, and especially with your point there, Mr. Junkyard, that the first one just made no sense. I mean, there was no point to it at all. And to also counter that as well, I do find it funny, and this is maybe kind of going off on a separate mid-card meltdown, and probably shouldn't bring up another point, but I do find it funny that for some people that get signed, especially if they've got a big name attached to them, maybe not a big name, but some hype to them being signed to WWE, that they just get pushed down to the NXT level of things, whereas some people who come from a completely different country, I would – probably say 80 to 70, 80% of the WWE audience has no idea who this person is, automatically gets to show up at a PLE and gets thrust into a pretty big spot on the storyline perspective on a main card, on a main show.
I can't tell you how many people in this casual wrestling community Discord server I was in that had no earthly idea who Jeff Cobb was. And I had to go through and the way that we had to explain it to him, with me and we too deep, obviously he knows a little bit about it, my brother, about Jeff Cobb. We explained that he was basically Rhino, but a New Japan Rhino or a New Japan Taz. That was the way we had to explain it, because it's so hard to explain Jeff Cobb's work without going into super marky technical terms on how he used to wrestle in New Japan, and he's part of the United Empire and all of that. That's the way that I would explain it, but it's these people don't know what the United Empire is, so it wouldn't make any sense to them, and they would be even more confused. So what wasn't there something a couple years ago where WWE fans were upset that AEW wasn't giving us context on who people are? And yet they do this run-in with Jeff Cobb, and nobody knows who the fuck he is.
Oh, wait. Watch Raw or SmackDown. We'll get the story. We'll get some detail. You just got to watch. I mean, that's literally the wash, rinse, repeat type of thing that we're just seeing right here.
Well, and I understand the reason why Fatu was confused that Jeff Cobb showed up, because it goes back to their history in New Japan. Yep. You have to know that context, and so I don't know. They'll defend it, and it's cool.
And WWE
you can defend it.
Doesn't work with New Japan, so it's not like they could just say, "Oh, well, you know, in this company that they did, now it's going to have to be, oh, well, apparently they had beef maybe overseas, so we don't, you know, we're not really sure about," and then just kind of skim it off. It's a little mind blowing how that happens. But yeah, those are my two mid card meltdowns there to finish up my time.
Some good points that you brought up as well. We're going to transition now. Double or Nothing, like I said at the top of the show. I think we're 13 or 14. I can't remember. It's on a Sunday this year, correct? The 25th Sunday?
Yes. Yep.
14 days away from Double or Nothing. Thank God I have that Monday off for Memorial Day, because I have a feeling the show may go longer, but maybe not, because as of now, 14 days out, there's only two confirmed matches on the card. Now, we know Tony Khan sometimes gets in this
book
right
happy.
He starts booking shows super late. Now, the week leading into the pay-per-view, we're going to do our prediction show, and we might only have three matches to predict, because Tony Khan may literally wait till that Saturday to book the rest of the show. At this point,
we may have to do a pre-show during the pre-show just to get predictions, because we have no idea what's going to happen between now and then.
Right. And now I obviously we may see after the match on Wednesday between Samoa Joe and Moxley that there may be a match booked for Double or Nothing with the world title scene. But there's really no I don't know what other matches are they waiting to complete. And I guess the question has to be, are you concerned about the lack of build surrounding this Double or Nothing card?
I am. We haven't gotten a TBS title match, a women's world title match. We've had at least two different Eliminator type style matches. We're going to have another one, I believe, this Wednesday. We're throwing Sky Blue back in the mix during Eliminator match. I don't agree with that. I'm a little concerned as to where we're going with this. And I almost feel that right now Tony Khan is like, all right, we just need to get through Double or Nothing, because we're building a month and a half to our biggest show of the year at All In, Texas. What I do appreciate and like is the fact that we're giving a lot of attention to the two matches that are announced so far, which are the finals of the Owen Hart Memorial Cup tournaments on the women's and the men's side. Ospreay versus Hangman Page, and Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter. We're giving a lot of focus, a lot of attention on that. And that's honestly really, really good in my opinion, because when you have such a high stakes in that tournament already, that almost needs to be your main focus for this show, is that the winner of these tournaments go on to All In Texas to have a world title match. And it's creating a much bigger moment and a much bigger atmosphere for this tournament. And I think that's actually going to give it a lot more momentum in the years to follow. That's a pro. That's a positive for that. However, only having two matches with 14 days to go, not a good look. Now, if you're at WWE, hey, that's no problem. We just got to have three more matches on the card and a bunch of big commercials. We're good. AEW pay-per-views, we need at least 6 to 7 more matches. And I'm going to throw out a early prediction. It's 2 weeks out, so I don't think it's that early. But I don't think we're getting a world title match on Double or Nothing. I think we're just going to get Anarchy in the Arena with the Death Riders and the Ops to maybe another person. I don't think we're getting a world title match on that show.
You see, I've heard that rumor.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
A lot where it's going to be Anarchy in the Arena, and I wouldn't be completely against it, especially with what I think happens on Wednesday. We're we're in the city of Chicago on Wednesday, and so the new king of Chicago, I think he's showing up to screw over Samoa Joe. That would be Jack Perry. He gets a lot of heat in Chicago, and it's time to bring Jack Perry back into AEW. He's been gone for quite some time. That added in with the fact that it was it Wednesday show where the Death Riders were in the Elite locker room, or it was Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which episode it was on.
This past Wednesday, but it was the Young Bucks going into the Death Riders locker room.
Right. And yeah. So I think that Jack Perry plays a part in it in some way, shape, or form. And I could see it happening because you could do the Ops, Shibata, Powerhouse Hobbs, Joe. You can put in like a Swerve Strickland in there. What about the hometown guy, Bryan Danielson? I think he may be wanting to wrestle again, maybe throw him back into that feud. Go ahead.
Maybe Danielson, and that's an absolute possibility. Not 100% sure on the time frame of how this whole thing is going on, but maybe we're kind of nearing the end of it. And boy, do they have history, and it would make a lot of sense to put him in the Ops and make it a 4-on-4 match Anarchy in the Arena about Eddie Kingston.
That would be interesting. I could see it. My other next thing would be if they're doing Anarchy in Arena, maybe it's Kenny Omega so that they can continue that feud with leading with Okada and Omega going forward. But Okada would have to be part of that match, I guess. I think, though, I think it's probably more likely than not that we don't get an AEW world title opportunity. The fact that we have an AEW title match 2 weeks before a pay-per-view, and then your main focus has been basically your number one contendership matches, leads me to think those would be the main event, and you don't want to put a world title opportunity kind of in the middle of a show. So with the fact that I don't know if there's enough time to build a world title match in 2 weeks, unless next week you run an eliminator match and somebody beats Moxley, which ruins your champion that close to the pay-per-view. you probably are going to get some sort of blood and guts or Anarchy in the Arena style match. I made the prediction a while ago that Swerve gets his rematch at Double or Nothing, but it doesn't seem likely with the fact that we're just this close to the pay-per-view and nothing is leading to Swerve getting that rematch opportunity. But we'll see. I'm concerned as hell about the fact that we only have two matches called, because like typically at this point we have the majority of the matches already booked.
Six?
Right.
Yeah.
We have the majority of them booked, and then the go home show, we're not booking like half the show. We're booking the last two or three matches that get thrown on the 0 hour or something like that. So it is concerning. We don't have a tag team match, like a tag team championship match. And presumably, like, we may see Cedric Alexander on Wednesday. His 90 days just ended. So he may join the Hurt Syndicate instead of MJF. MJF may join the Hurt Syndicate. There's just a lot that's going on in AEW for there not to be more than two matches booked, and we're 2 weeks out from what could be seen as one of your big two or three pay-per-views. It's a little bit concerning. And so I know the point is All In is pushed up this year from August into June. And I know, or July, and they want to push to get us to July and push All In more than maybe Double or Nothing. But this is a big pay-per-view. And I think you're doing Phoenix an injustice to not, like, I'm sure they haven't sold out yet. You got to kind of get us a couple more matches to maybe push people across to buy that pay-per-view. And this close to it, I don't know if it's just a lot of matches are going to be booked this week, and then we'll get to the go-home shows the week next week, and then we'll end it there, or if Tony Khan's going to be booking a lot of these pay-per-view matches at the last week before the pay-per-view, or maybe Tony Khan says we're going to let the Owen Hart matches each get a 60-minute match or a 45-minute match, and we don't have 10 matches on the show. We only have five or six. But yeah, I'm a little bit concerned with the fact that we only have two matches confirmed for Double or Nothing. Y'all, before we get to our main event of the night, we got to give you one more ad read from our partners over at the WWE Shop. Get ready to step in the ring with the hottest gear from WWE Shop. Whether you're a fan of the high-flying action of WrestleMania or the gritty showdowns of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, WWE Shop has everything you need to show your support. From the authentic superstar tees to replica titles, they've got it all. Use the link in the description now and gear up like a true member of the WWE Universe. Don't just watch the action, wear it. WWE Shop, where legends are made and fans are styled. Hey, if there was one guy in the WWE that I could rock the merch for, it's the man right here, Dirty Dom, Daddy Dom, whatever you want to call him, the chicken nugget slut. Go over, and he has a Eddie Guerrero replica, basically it's Eddie Guerrero's Latino Heat shirt. But it's a Dominic Mysterio shirt that says Latino Cheat. And so I might actually have to buy that shirt. Go over to WWE Shop. Use the link in the description box. Help support the podcast that way. And as always, thank you, WWE Shop, for supporting and partnering with the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. We're going to hit the main event of the night. And I talked about it a little bit, and to be completely honest, I wanted to give this topic a little bit of more time. On Friday, I had an episode where I was, for the majority of the day, that was going to be my main topic, was the topic we're about to talk about. That was until Sean Ross Sapp had to be sassy in my DMs and I had to check them a little bit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check the last episode of the podcast. Sean Rossap was mad at me for sharing his content too early, apparently. But go check out that drama on the last episode of this podcast here. The AEW Women's Division for the last I would say 18 months now, they've done a really good job at building the division. The problem is there's too many women and not enough time for the AEW Women's Division to give more than just the handful of people at the top of the card the time on the weekly television show that they need to showcase their talent. And so for the, it used to be like it was Toni Storm and Mariah May, and then like Willow and Chris got a little bit of time, but now their time's starting to get taken. Megan Bain steps in. Like, you think Sky Blue's coming back, so that she's going to get a little bit of time. It's confirmed that like Mina Shirakawa's coming in, and that she's going to get a big push in AEW real quick. I think she'll be Mercedes Moné next feud for the TBS title. And then I don't know if you've seen in the last week or so they're teasing the debut of Thekla coming in to the women's division. And so the idea was proposed, like, how do we get the women more time, or more women time in general? And the idea that basically everyone that I've seen, and myself included, has agreed upon is that it's time for Tony Khan to give us a women's tag team division. And I know we hear women's tag team division and there's a little bit of hesitancy because of what WWE has done with their tag team division. My question is, should AEW give us women's tag titles and give us a women's tag division?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a good problem to have a bunch of these women in the spotlight like this, and having right now two titles, your Ultimate Championship for the Women's World Title, and then that secondary title of the TBS title, which I would argue that both of them right now have the same kind of prestige to it. Toni Storm is doing a phenomenal job at giving that title belt such a good prestige and reputation, and Mercedes has done a really good job with building up the TBS title brand, having it for almost a year now. She's done a really good job with making that title feel really important, really prestigious. The problem I have that if we introduce a women's tag team belt division is that it's going to end up, unfortunately, like what a WWE women's tag team division has become, where you get a bunch of these thrown mix-in tag teams that are forced. We don't know anything about them. There's no backstory on them. And then you just run out of ideas and storylines, and pretty soon you either start releasing people or they get hurt, or you book yourself into a massive problem when it comes to, okay, we have these championships, we have these titles, we have these women who are holding the titles. Now what? What do we do with them? We're going to play flip-floppity with the title a lot. It's just going to run out of creativity really, really quickly, I think. And I feel like that's what the problem with WWE has become, is that initially it was a great idea, a lot of promise, a lot of potential. And then I would say really starting of 2023, 2024, I don't care about it. There's not enough for me to get invested into that side of things where I'm like, okay, this, and then now especially with WWE having a women's U.S. champion and a women's intercontinental champion, that's the last thing I'm worried about is a women's tag team championship, because you have now four main card titles on television. Whereas AEW has two, I'm hesitant on putting a third one on TV, whether it's a women's international championship or whatever. Women's TV, which TBS is a TV champion. Like, I'm worried about having that. It wouldn't be a horrible idea to have another singles belt, maybe, because you have a lot of women on the roster and they're getting a lot of exposure and TV time. But I fear that if you do the tag team belts, we're just going to run out of steam really quickly, and it's just going to look really bad, and they're going to have to get rid of the title really quickly.
And I can see the hesitancy, because if you use WWE as the example, you're completely correct. So when they created the WWE tag team, women's tag team belts, they had a women's tag team belt for the main roster, SmackDown and Raw, and then they had a women's tag team belt for NXT. And for whatever reason, they booked themselves into the hole of both championships were won by the same team. And then they consolidated it to one tag team belt. And so I don't think we would have the same issues that WWE would have, because I think that they wouldn't share the tag team championships with ROH, because Tony Khan is investing in the women's division in ROH so much so that he introduced a women's TV title. Red Velvet currently holds it. And now they're introducing a women's pure rules title, with a tournament getting ready to start to crown the first women's pure rules title. So Tony Khan is obviously interested in and invested in the women's division. He's doing it in ROH. And I think there needs to be this women's tag team belt. My opinion is, one, because a lot of the tag teams that we have, that we would be able to use in AEW, have already kind of been unofficially established, because they do a lot of tag team matches just as an unofficial division. You could have teams like Anna Jay and Tay Mello. You could have teams like Charlotte and Robin Renegade. You could use Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. Willow and Chris, if they ever decide to stop fighting each other for no reason and can come back to be a tag team. And so you have this established position, and I think AEW could use that women's tag team division as a marketing tool to say WWE says that they care about women's wrestling and women's tag team wrestling, but look at what they're doing with the title, and look at what we're doing with our title. AEW could be the place where, if you care about women's tag team wrestling, you come to AEW and you become one of the best women's tag teams in the entire world. I think if they want to control and continue the Death Riders narrative, say they sign Shayna Baszler after her 90 days are done, her and Marina Shafir could be a tag team there. And so I get the hesitancy. I get the fear of, at some point, we might get lazy with the storytelling. But my feeling is there's like 5 or 6 women right now in AEW that honestly are legitimate enough to fight for the world title. But there's like 20 women in the roster that I believe should have some form of time. And so to me, it's either you have to create, it might be a new mid-card singles belt, might be the way to do it. It's either that, or you have to give the women an additional hour outside of the 4 hours we already have. And they lost Rampage, so I don't know if Warner's willing to give them a fifth hour of TV. And so, to me, the way that you put more women on the card is you create a tag team division, which means instead of 2 women battling in a match, 4 women battle in a match, and now you can build really, really intriguing feuds. Because right now I think the feud that is suffering a little bit is Megan Bain and Anna Jay. I think they're going to probably have a match at Double or Nothing. But how cool would it be? There's already like this infighting between with Harley Cameron and Anna Jay against Penelope Ford and Megan Bain. Like, that could be for something that means something instead of just another match that has really no purpose. I think that's the one thing.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thing that AEW or WWE fans who don't necessarily like AEW, their biggest complaint is AEW gives us matches, and it's not that the storylines are bad or the wrestling is bad, is that the matches don't progress into anything long term. And you know, I think a women's tag division could lead to every match on every card meaning something, especially in the women's division. Because my fear is we're going to get back to where we were before AEW signed Jen Pepperman, and we get the top three or four women on the show, and that's it. And the rest of the women are waiting for their spot. Got a comment here from Vita for Life. Apologize if I butchered that. They need to have a brand split, then they can have another singles belt. I think they tried that when they brought Collision, and it didn't work, in my opinion, the brand split idea. Maybe it will work if they tried it again and did it properly without the cancer known as CM Punk leading Collision.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, remember the reason why we had to have a brand split was because somebody couldn't play in a sandbox, and is now taking the same blood money from Saudi that. He was against for so long. So funny how the tides turn and things switch up. But I don't think AEW has enough, and I love AEW. I'm an AEW supporter from day one. I don't think they have enough star power to have two shows right now. I don't think that two separate shows, I should say. They're doing a lot of double tapings with Collision and Dynamite, which is fine. It's cut costs, having to rent another arena. But I think they also do that because of the fact that Collision ticket sales aren't doing amazingly well. They are booking smaller arenas for Dynamite, but also for Collision too. And it's working for the most part. But I think if you were to do that on a 52-week basis I guess you could still do a double taping and have different rosters, but I just don't think that they would have enough star power to really lead that. From that vantage point, I just don't think that there's enough of a want for a double brand for a brand split right now. It's amazing how Collision has been on a really good run of good shows recently without having a brand split. Whereas most shows that don't have a brand split, when it's just Dynamite and Collision or Raw and SmackDown, and there's not much storytelling going on the second show, the B show, that it suffers really, really badly. Collision really hasn't suffered too terribly. Sometimes the numbers are better than the others, for sure. But the attendance figures from the live crowd is pretty decent. Not when it's a double taping, but when it's a standalone show. For obviously the arenas that they're booking, the attendance is doing really well. But I think that they're just not at a time right now where they can really rely on the talent, marquee name-wise, to do that, to have a full-time brand split between those two shows. I think maybe give it another couple of years and they could. There's still, and I know it's 5 years and AEW had a really big, debut in 2021 and 2022 were really good. Even though they did 81,000 and then 50,000 in Wembley Stadium. Still young, still have that great name power in wrestling. We still say it's the second biggest company, I would say, in the world, but you can't just open up these, 15,000-seat arenas and AEW is going to sell out. They're not there yet. And even WWE still goes to some of these B and C shows or B and C cities like Savannah, Georgia. They're going for a SmackDown. Bonsecours Wellness Arena in Greenville. They're going that for a Raw. So they're still doing some of those smaller cities and venues, selling out, of course, but AEW is still not there yet to get that real big name recognition to where it's going to sell out a bunch of these big arenas, and the name power is there to have that true full-time brand split, in my opinion. I will have a very big counterpoint that I could see MJF as a final test to possibly prove the Hart Syndicate wrong, set up a tag team match, you got to beat us to join us type of thing. And that's where he's going to bring out Cedric Alexander as his tag team partner, Double or Nothing. And then Cedric turns on MJF and he joins the Hart Syndicate. I think it'd be actually kind of interesting. That's just my point of view.
That'd be interesting. I think we've been saying this from the inception of the show that the brand split shouldn't necessarily be Dynamite and Collision. Like, ROH should be its own brand. We're still having issues where ROH titles are being fought for on AEW pay-per-views. It, like, honestly, to me, like, I think we're at a position now where we shouldn't have to do that. And I think they were hoping that by putting ROH content on the on TV, that it would get them that ROH TV deal that they've been wanting. And it just, they haven't gotten it yet. And so at this point in time, and I don't know, where would the brand split work? Because like I said, they're still using ROH talent on Dynamite and Collision. So like the rosters go between the three shows all the time. And so to me, until they can do an effective brand split between AEW and ROH, like we shouldn't worry about a quote-unquote brand split with Collision and Dynamite. Got another comment here. Imagine if Tony decided to invest in his own building like NXT has. They have a building. It's called Daily's Place that they could use if they really wanted. I don't think Tony Khan wants to run Daily's Place every week. Like, I think he wants to expand out and tour and see the fans. Would it save cost to run Daily's Place for a weekly show? I would say probably, but there's a reason that AEW is now doing a extended stay at 2300 Arena in Philly. And they did the same thing at Esports Arena in Fort Worth last year. And they're considering doing more of these like extended contracts with these venues to have multiple shows for several weeks at a time. One, it saves costs, but it allows you to go to these different areas and not have to stay in Daily's Place. I think maybe the concern with Daily's Place would be it would remind people too much of the COVID years, because where they ran exclusively out of Daily's Place. I think Tony Khan, I don't have any insight on that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think that maybe the fear, and is depending on the way you look at it, is they probably wouldn't be able to sell a bunch of tickets. That's about a 7,000 seat amphitheater. And if they did anything less than 1,000 tickets, you know, it's going to be a failure. And I think if they do that right, more on a weekly basis, it's not going to look good. Whereas they right, went to the Esports Arena in Arlington and they sold out, I think, every single show, if not very close. They got right, the monetary value for that. They made money back on running that arena. They're going to do the same thing at 2300 Arena. They're going to sell out, if not all those shows, most of them, and they're going to get the money back for the money that they used to rent out the place. So it's a numbers game too, I'm sure, but it's also to branch out and go to different cities and not stay in Jacksonville to do that.
Now, if they made ROH like their NXT, where NXT used to run Full Sail, to run Full Sail Arena every Wednesday or when they were on the network, They may still do that where they run out of the Performance Center, I think, now, or whatever they do with NXT. Yeah. And they have like the 800, they have 800 seat end of it. Like if they did that with ROH, that would make sense to me, not to have the ROH tapings.
They had the perfect setup. They had the perfect setup when they had, I think it was maybe Darker Elevation, but I think ROH 2, where they had it at Soundstage Studios in Orlando. Mm-hmm. It was basically where TNA did most of their tapings. It wasn't the same exact soundstage, but they hosted that for a number of months where ROH was using their weekly TV shows there, and I think there was a Darker Elevation being shown there as well, being taped there. I thought that was perfect. That's what they needed, was to have that center fixated place, 200-300 people max, and just tape your ROH shows. And then if you do the pay-per-views, go to the ECW arena, go to the eSports arena, go to a bigger venue to have your pay-per-views at. That's going to have 1,000 to maybe 2,500 people, 2,500 people tops, maybe a little more, depends. But that would be a way to get that name recognition for ROH. Send some of your main talent from AEW that isn't being used down to ROH for name recognition, to build their craft, to get them being used. Build some stars there as well before you put them on the main show. I thought that was a really good, happy medium, a good setup that they could have done. I'm not really sure why they stopped that and why they feel the need that they need to have ROH taped in front of a really lackluster crowd. I mean, when we went to see Collision the last two times in Charlotte, after Collision, they taped ROH. People are living in droves after every single match, and it just looks bad. It sounds bad. I understand you want to give the fans the best bang for your buck, but man, when there's a
the way that they do the ROH taping now is really weird to me, because they do half of the taping prior to AEW Dynamite or Collision or whatever, when the arena's half capacity of the tickets that were sold. And then they do the other half after the show when the crowd is leaving or they're exhausted because of the main event of Collision and it's 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night or whatever it would be. And they even do some of the taping at like the pay-per-views where like they might not do any afterwards, because God forbid I would not stay at 1 o'clock in the morning to watch
another
taping.
Not a chance.
But I think they do a couple like matches that may get some time like before the show, the pay-per-views, to get some ROH content on there. And to me, it's like if you had a dedicated audience, that like NXT, you have to apply in advance to get tickets to the show. Like they just don't allow any random Joe Schmo to buy tickets. Like they have a dedicated audience that they allow to go to these NXT shows, and it works, because it's, you're not going to, like, the crowd is pretty good for NXT from what I've seen. It's a intimate setting, like 800 people, and there are people that I guess WWE feels good enough letting them go and become part of that crowd. To me, it's like, I don't know if Tony Khan wants to go through that amount of work. Like, I don't know, to him, again, I'm not in Tony Khan's mind. I just wonder if it's like the idea of ROH being in an actual arena gives it the look of it being a bigger show. And to him, it doesn't matter how many people are there. It's the fact that he doesn't have to run a soundstage, or he doesn't have to run some super small personalized crafted area and only have a few hundred people there. But to me, it may make ROH better. I think the big thing, and they're experimenting with it, is you got to get ROH out from behind the paywall. And they've experimented with it, with having some of their last couple of shows for free on YouTube. But you got to get it out from the paywall to get more people to watch it. Because if you're not going to spend $9.99 a month to get Honor Club, like, you're not going to, if you don't know what ROH is, you're not going to buy it, and you're not going to watch the weekly show. But they also have to to me, you got to break away ROH from the AEW stuff, because if I can just watch the ROH Pure Championship fight on Collision every week, why would I make the additional effort to watch them on ROH and have to pay extra money to watch it? So, I don't know. Any last words, my friend, before we close out the weekend? We'll be back next Thursday, regular time. And we'll kind of do probably a more of a breakdown of Dynamite on Wednesday. We'll keep the format the same. I'll have to find a harder wrestler for you to guess, so it doesn't take you 57 seconds to get it this time. Any last words before we close up the show tonight?
Not really. I think that we had a really good show. I appreciate the comments and kind of extending our show a little bit longer with some really good feedback and some points as well. So always much appreciated. And for those that were newly tuned in or even commented, I appreciate you doing that. Like us, of course, subscribe, share, do all that good stuff. So that way you can stay more in tune. Definitely a different feel doing on a Sunday night versus a Thursday night. That's our usual time frame. But hopefully you guys can join us on over on Thursday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern, and keep the momentum up and going, as they say. But yeah, no, I completely agree with you with Vita for Life. Also mentioned that last comment that they need ROH to feel completely different from AEW. 100% agree with that. It doesn't feel like ROH at all. It just feels like a subsidiary of anything. Just not a very good way of showing the product. But it's a good show, fun show, and I look forward to not only your next guest, the wrestler segment on Thursday, but look forward to all that may take place after Wednesday on Dynamite, and see if maybe there's any more clear direction leading into Double or Nothing, and that'll be now less than 2 weeks away.
Absolutely. For all of our new members, our new viewers this week, thank you for tuning in. Please make sure to hit that subscribe button, like this video, share it with your friends, leave a comment if you haven't already. Let's let YouTube know that this is a place where wrestling fans can grow and can communicate and just have a good conversation. It doesn't matter if you're all WWE or if you're all Elite or somewhere in the middle. It's good to have this conversation. So like, comment, subscribe, share this with other wrestling fans. Thank you to all of our affiliate partners. And I tried doing this on Friday and completely fucked it up. So I'm going to let you, I'm going to let you give us the final word, and we'll see y'all out there.
Listen, try as you may, imitation is a very flattering, sincere form of art, often duplicated, but never replicated, whatever that phrase is. Often imitated, never duplicated. That's it. Try as you may, the OG just has to put the cherry on top of every show. So on this Mother's Day, hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. To all the mothers that are out there, mine in heaven. Hopefully, I'm not sure if Jesus is a cook or not, but maybe he is in some capacity. I'm sure he can whip up really good spaghetti and meatballs. I'm not sure. Stir the pot, stir the sauce. Stir it up like Red Velvet says. Anyways, have a great rest of your weekend. We will see you guys Thursday. And as always, my friends, please stay saucy. Beyond the junkyard.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies.
Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.